everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cryptid Cocktail Party, a show where we have a few drinks, share a few laughs, take a dive into the unknown. I'm your host, Dave, and today I'm joined by, I guess, good friend of the show, Kevin, host of Where the Weird Ones Are podcast. How's it going, bud?
It's going fantastic. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Very last minute.
Literally, like an hour ago, I think. Maybe two.
Yeah, but you know, I appreciate you coming on to help out. But yeah, how are things going with you, man?
Things are pretty good, man. Over 100 episodes now, which...
God damn.
Oh, shit. Whoops, I accidentally hit my mute button. My bad. But yeah, over 100 episodes now. Yeah, things are good. Kids are outside doing chores and shit, so I'm allowed to come in and talk to you. You know,
yeah, put those kids to work. They have it way too easy these days.
They do. They're literally so I have like this little like shed barn thing. That's where the chickens are. And in the winter, like, I don't get in there and clean as much as I do when it's warmer out, because you know, everything's frozen. So that's what they're doing right now, is cleaning that out for me.
Just shoveling chicken shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Literally, actually, I should say.
See, I don't have any kids, but I feel like that's one of the benefits, is you can get them to do the things that you don't want to do. And you know, if they don't, well, they're in trouble. You know, it's your chore. You got to do it. You know, teach them responsibility.
Absolutely. This morning, I had just got back from the gym, right? And I laid on my bed in my underwears, and I was like, Brayden, go downstairs and get the laundry out of the washer, the dryer, so I can put pants on. And he's like, he goes, the dryer's still going. And I was like, yeah, but they might be dry if you don't mind checking. And it goes downstairs, checks. He goes, they're still wet. And I was like, God damn it.
But the effort you put into it was there, so I applaud you for that. You attempted to do it, didn't quite work out, but I mean, that's a gamble you got to take, I guess, right?
For sure, because we were getting ready to go out for lunch, and I was like, well, I guess I'll look in my bureau. And my bureau is right there. I should have just did that in the first place, but there was a pair of pants that I really liked that was in the dryer.
Well, you can't wear your laundry day clothes out to lunch, you know, that's why you're doing laundry.
Yes, you're right.
Oh shit. All right, man. Well, you don't know what we're talking about today, right?
I have absolutely no clue, but maybe when you bring it up, I'll be like, oh, I might know what this is. Or maybe
you probably will. Fingers crossed you don't. Or if you do, maybe you don't know the information I'm going to tell you, because that makes a better episode, I feel like.
Yeah. There's a lot of cryptids up here in Maine, man. And I was just on a live show with the Cryptid Huntress, and she freaking brought up cryptids that are here in my home state that I fucking have no idea about. I was like, what the fuck is that thing?
They're everywhere, dude. And it's bomb. I keep finding new shit constantly. And and I feel bad because some of them, they're like, you don't know that exists. I'm like, fuck you, I don't know. There's so many, like, my brain can only hold so much information.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I lose myself sometimes.
All right, well, today we're going to be covering a legendary creature that is said to, I don't know, I guess, patrol the forests of several states, including Delaware, Indiana, and Massachusetts. So pretty close to us. One that most are familiar with, I would say, in the folklore and cryptozoology community, but even like normies outside of those circles are familiar. Pretty much thanks to J.K. Rowling and her stupid ass Livermore school, like the American schools. Like, pretty much the cryptid we're going to be talking about today, you could do one of those who's that Pokemon thing, and most people, I feel, would figure it out pretty easily based off of the silhouette of this thing. So today, Kevin, we're going to be covering the Puckwudgie.
Yes, I know so much about the Puckwudgie.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I did. I actually did a paranormal investigation in the Huckamuck Swamp with Phil Anderson from...
did you really?
Learning with Phil, yeah. And we got, you know, the SLS cameras where you get figures if there's like a being of some kind. But we got like a shit ton of like little people while we were out in the swamp. And they were like, some of them were like a couple inches and some of them were like 2 feet tall. It was fucking crazy. I was like, what the hell is happening?
Dude, fuck that. I'd be like, all right, well, we got what we needed. We can go out. We can leave now. That's good. Yeah. I'm good.
He goes, hey, can you go over to that bush where this figure is and touch the bush so people like understand like what's going on and stuff? And I was like, shit. I was like, all right. And I did. And then like I stood in front of the camera too. So like they could get me graphed. So like,
yeah,
you know, you could see like my, what it does to a person and stuff. And it was interesting.
You go fucking touch the bush. I'm not going over there. I'll hold the camera. You go over there.
I almost said that. I was like, oh, fuck, I'll do it, I guess.
I guess if you're in that situation, I probably would do it just because, like, you know, you're nice enough to be there with them. You know, the least you could do is just go stand next to a bush and possibly get stabbed by a 2 foot tall hedgehog man.
yeah. They might lead me to my doom, or they might rescue me, and I did not need rescuing of any kind in that moment. So there's a good chance that they were like, "Let's fuck this guy up."
All right. Well, since you know so much, you probably know more about the puck wedges than I do. Maybe if anything I say in this episode, if it's wrong or if you have more context to it, feel free to jump right in, because I did leave a lot of things out, but that's just for sake of story wise. But
yeah.
All right, Kevin, you ready to dive into the legend and lore that is the puck wedgie?
Let's do it, man.
All right. So the puck wedgie, which loosely translates to, quote, "little wild man of the woods that vanishes," which just fucking rolls off the tongue in English, are creatures from Native American folklore, specifically the Wampanoag tribe of Massachusetts in southern New England, and the Algonquin tribes of the Great Lake regions, along with a couple others along the eastern side of the United States. They're described as being anywhere between knee height to 3 feet tall, and they look more or less like humans, but with like elongated features, long ears, long nose, kind of troll-like. They got like a pale gray complexion and are usually depicted as having giant porcupine quills coming out of their back. They kind of give me, based off like artist descriptions of them, like Icelandic troll vibes, but with like half troll, half like hedgehog kind of thing going on. I don't know. That's what I took away from it. The puck wedgie is considered one of the oldest mythical creatures in North America. And while they do have a reputation of being like nasty little tricksters that will either prank you or just straight up murder you for fun, they do kind of have like a complicated, and if you ask me, kind of like a sad past to them. So according to an article on SpookySouthCoast.com, that is a re-upload of an article from 2005 on Massachusetts Paranormal Crossroads, which is a site that no longer exists apparently, the puck wedgie first appeared in the oral traditions of the Wampanoag peoples living in Cape Cod. Now, according to legend, the Wampanoag people worshipped, I don't know how to pronounce this, but I think it's Mashop.
I mean, it sure could be.
Mashop was a giant that they believe created Cape Cod, and the people there just fucking love this guy. Like, they could not get in. Like, it's like how people feel about, like, Keanu Reeves. Like, just could do no wrong. Just an amazing giant god. Well, the puck wedgies, who for the longest time got along with the humans and coexisted with them, grew jealous of the humans' love and devotion to Mashop. They tried to take some of that love and devotion, like direct it their way by trying to help the Wampanoag, but everything they did seemed to backfire, which leads me to believe that the way they tried to help with things is like the same way that like a small child tries to help you with things. Like, they usually end up breaking something, or like they make a bigger mess than was originally there. I'm sure that's something you can relate to.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Well, after all their failed efforts to not be ignored went ignored, the puck wedgies were like, all right, fuck this, and they just decided to start being just mischievous on purpose, just annoying the hell out of the natives of Cape Cod. Finally, the Wampanoag were like, all right, enough is enough. These little shits are annoying, so we got to get them out of here. So they went to Quant, who was the wife of Mashop the giant, to ask if she could get her husband to do something about them, and Mashop obliged. Are you following me so far?
Oh, yeah, following you.
Okay.
I get it.
Mashop went around and rounded up as many of the puck wedgies as he could, and then just shook the ever-living hell out of them until they were nice and confused, and then just started hucking them, like throwing them as far as he could all across New England.
What?
Some died. Yeah.
All right. I didn't know this. I'd be like, this part of their history, I have no idea. So this is crazy.
Yeah. So Mashop was a giant. He was a giant god. He was a creator god. And when they asked for help, he was like, sure, fuck it. And just grabbed them and shook them like a soda can, and then just started fucking tossing them around all of New England, just like like basically Hail Mary passing them. Now, obviously, some died, but others landed safely. And once they regained their senses, and unbeknownst to Mashop and the people of Cape Cod, they started like slowly making their way back to Massachusetts. Mm. Now, Mashop thought that he accomplished the task that his wife had asked of him to do. So he decided, you know, it's time for me to go on a little vacation. I did my work. I'm just going to kind of fuck off for a while. To where? I don't know. But in his absence, the Pukwudgies made their return and just started causing absolute fucking chaos. Not like the little harmless pranks they were doing before. They decided that they were like out for blood. They started kidnapping children, burning down entire villages, and even luring people deep into the woods and just straight up murdering them. Now, once again, the Wampanoags went to Quant to ask for Mashop's help, but this time around, it seemed like he just didn't want to be bothered to do it. So he sent his five sons to go take care of the problem. But the Pukwudgies were like, they're pretty crafty little guys. They lured the five sons into the woods and just like they did with the other people, shot them to death with poison arrows. Now, yeah. This obviously upset Mashop and his wife Quant, and they just started fucking smashing any Pukwudgie they saw. And I mean like literally crushing them, like just underfoot. But once again, the Pukwudgies scattered all across New England to escape the wrath of the two literal giant gods, but they regrouped and made their way back and had one last showdown. They tricked Mashop into the waters of Cape Cod and just unleashed their magic arrows upon him and then killing him. And after this, Mashop disappears from Wampanoag's mythology, but the Pukwudgies remained, and according to some accounts, are still around and kicking today. Many people in the areas where these Native American people lived and still live report seeing them to this day. But it's said that if you do encounter one, it's best to steer clear, pretty much for like all the reasons that I stated above.
Yeah.
So where are we at?
Yeah. So also some of the things that they can do is one of the things that they can do is they can appear and disappear at will.
You are a mind reader because now we know what they look like.
Yeah.
How they became little scamps that they are now known to be. You ready to dive into just what the abilities they have and some of the quote unquote pranks they like to pull?
Yes.
We got some general facts about these little guys too.
All right, sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun there for you.
No, Kevin, please. It's a collaborative effort, okay? So, as far as the abilities these guys have, because they are magical beings, which I don't know if I even mentioned that up top or not, but now you know. But like you said, they do have the ability to disappear and reappear at will, and I don't know if it's like an invisibility cloak type thing like the Predator, or if it's more like a teleportation thing. Like, I don't know how it works. I don't think it's magic. You can't explain magic.
Well, I think if I had to guess on either or, I think it would be more like the Predator kind of thing, like a Glimmer Man situation, because they're still there. Because they can do stuff. Supposedly there's like some encounters or whatever where there's shit happening, like falling off shelves or whatever, and you can't see what's doing it, and then like there's accounts of like it just appearing and then disappearing and stuff like that. So
it is more like a cloaking thing.
That's if I had to pick one. Yeah, if I had that to makes pick more it would be like a cloak. Yeah,
but I feel like that would also give the appearance of teleportation if you disappear in one area and then pop up in another. I don't know how fast they are. Like, I'm sure it wouldn't be like an instantaneous thing. Like, it's right. Not like the USS Philadelphia where it popped in and out of existence. But it's also said that they have the ability to shapeshift into small animals or even animals that will fucking straight up murder you, like cougars, things like that. They can create, manipulate, and shape fire. And they also have the ability to control what are known as Taipei Wonkas, which are believed to be the souls of Native Americans that they have killed in the past, similar to like orbs or will-o'-the-wisps if you're European. And they use those glowing lights to lure more victims into the woods to either kidnap or, again, just straight up fucking mark them. And I didn't know this part. Is this something you were familiar with?
No, I'm not familiar with that. So I guess I don't know as much as I thought I did, man.
Hell yeah. Well, look at that. We're both learning. This is a learning experience for both. Because I didn't know half the shit until I started looking into it. I didn't know like the backstory involved them getting shaken up and thrown into all of New England. That's wild.
Me neither. That's wild to me. So you said like in Indiana, Massachusetts, and where else?
Parts of Canada, like the Great Lakes region, Indiana, Massachusetts, and I want to say Delaware. But that could Delaware could have been one of the tribes, because I know there's a Native American tribe called Delaware. Yeah. Honestly, I know I said it 12 minutes ago, but I already forgot.
That's okay. Okay, because I was just thinking, because freaking Phil, he was doing an investigation in Tennessee somewhere, I think like near Knoxville or whatever, and he kept getting in his like spirit box and his like little word bank, which I don't know how much stake you want to put into like the word banks, like that, because they're just apps. You know what I mean?
The word bank to me is less, I feel like it's less credible, but it does create some pretty funny results if you get the right words.
Yeah. And he got puckwudgy a few times in Tennessee.
Really?
So, yeah. Like on both on the spirit box, because the spirit box, I feel I would vest more like credit to the spirit box than I would the word banks and stuff.
I agree.
But yeah, I mean, when the word bank freaking gives you an answer to a question that you just asked, that's fucking creepy. But nine times out of 10, you're getting just like a random word, I feel like.
Yeah.
So,
but sometimes they do create some pretty funny.
I wouldn't
call it evidence, but pretty funny responses to questions. And that's why I fuck with it for that reason alone. Not as like any tangible proof of anything, but goddamn. But Tennessee, Tennessee is kind of on the eastern side of the United States. So, I mean, I don't know. The real maps of where these tribes were, but I mean, who's to say? Probably more than likely it could be.
Yeah, I mean, they travel all the time. They just were more like, I guess when shit was being colonized or whatever, they decided to stay more put, you know.
Well, if I remember from my Mothman series, I know that the Delaware was part of the tribe of Chief, not it was part of the coalition that Chief Cornstalk was using to fight against. So, I mean, West Virginia, Tennessee, they're kind of vaguely in the same area, I guess. So, who knows? All right, but back to Puckwudgies. They're also apparently extremely proficient at archery, and they use magic or poisoned arrows. They're also covered in quills, so they can fuck you up that way. I read someplace that they can also curl up into a ball, kind of like a hedgehog, and just kind of roll at you, I guess, which would kind of, I guess that would fuck you up.
Yeah, I would fucking run. I would absolutely see a ball barreling at me. I don't care what it is. Like, I would run and torch the fucking woods. I'd just burn it all down, burn everything.
I don't know how true, I mean, again, I don't know how true any of this is. And again, some of these sources I used, you've done research, you know that some of these sites are a little, GeoCity from 2001.
I mean, I recently did research on the Goatman, and there's the same exact story for like the Maryland Goatman. They're attributing to a Goatman in freaking Kentucky, and I'm like, no. The Kentucky Goatman is the Popelik monster. Like, you can't fucking sit here and give the same exact story for the Maryland Goatman to the fucking. I was like, this is wrong. This is incorrect. Why? Who the fuck published this article?
Yeah. So some of these sites, they're a little dubious. So I don't know if all of this is correct, but apparently the Puckwudgies, they also are usually seen with a knife and spear. So they're basically, at this point in my head, like little ninjas that can turn invisible and then also control the dead, which is fucking terrifying. And add in the fact they can roll into a ball and come at you with their spiky backs. It's all just a nightmare. I also read somewhere that they can cause you to hallucinate, and the hallucinations can become so realistic that they can actually produce physical effects on their victims. So it's not great. It's like, it's all bad.
Yeah. Without the weapons, it kind of reminds me of that horror movie Critters.
Yes, Critters 2.
Yeah. I was scared of that when I was a kid, man. That movie scared me.
It's not good. It's like a nightmare Sonic the Hedgehog, but like the reason why I said like their backstory is complicated and it's sad to me is like they just wanted to be accepted. You know what I mean? And then the natives were just like, nah, dude, fuck you guys. And then they're like, no, but let us help. And then they're like, they weren't villains originally, but we turned them into villains. Like, it's so sad. Like, someone just used to be nice to these guys, pretty much, is what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's all anybody really wants is they just want a little love.
Yeah. And especially, they're just little guys. They're just little guys. They're just trying to hang out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But whatever. Now, Kevin, you want to get in some of the quote unquote pranks they pull?
Oh my God. Yes. Let's hear them.
Okay. Now, I said quote unquote pranks. And again, they're in heavy quotes because just like in the Spring Heel Jack episode, they keep using the word pranks. But really, what they mean is like cruel and violent encounters that may or may not lead to you dying. Like,
I just want to say though real quick on the Spring-Heeled Jack episode, because I listened to it, it was fucking hilarious because when you described him and then you like made this voice up for him, I was like, yeah, that's the exact voice I would give him to.
It's the Massey. Like, it's old-timey villain. He looks like the kind of dude that would tie a damsel up and put her on a train track. Like, it's that villain voice. It's 100% that voice. But they kept using the term prankster for him, but he was a fucking sexual predator and a violent, like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't good. Nah. Well, same thing with the Puck Wedgie. Some of their quote-unquote pranks range from pretty harmless to just full-on murderous, depending on what tribe's lore you're going off of. In much of the Great Lakes tribe's lore, the Puck Wedgie is considered mischievous but generally good-natured in spirit. I couldn't find any examples of these harmless pranks readily available because no one really wants to talk about the harmless pranks, but I'm gonna assume that it's like tying your shoelaces together, stealing food, that kind of, knocking shit off your shelves when they're invisible, like you said, like that kind of stuff. In most other tribes and legends, though, the Puck Wedgie is not only dangerous if you treat him poorly, disrespect him or his woods, or if you just slightly annoy him, they also believe that they are just like straight up dangerous no matter what you do, and they can't be trusted. Because apparently one thing they do is they'll like try and like gain your trust and then help you with something, or you help them with something, and then they'll just fucking kill you. So you can't trust them. And if you do happen to accidentally annoy one, it's said that it will stalk you and prank you in ways like using sand to blind you. It'll stalk you. It'll erase your memories. It'll lure you off of a cliff. It'll steal your baby, or just persuade you to commit suicide. So, you know, just prankster shit, just trickster stuff.
What the weird thing is, a lot of these like creatures and stuff, they want your children, and it's fucking weird. Mm. Like, and then like, it also, because they also kind of do a little bit resemble him, but it reminds me of Rumpelstiltskin. You know, I was just thinking about this the other day. Oddly enough, I was like, I don't hear anything about Rumpelstiltskin anymore. I used to hear that that little story all the time when I was a kid. But I think it's really weird that like everything wants your children.
Well, we just did a episode on like fairies of Ireland, and this is giving me like leprechaun. It's like leprechaun vibes. Like, leprechauns will do the same thing. Like, yeah, they'll do little pranks or whatever, but if you really annoy them, one of the things is they will steal your fucking baby. And they'll either keep it or exchange it with a changeling, which is even worse, because what happened to the original baby? And what is that changeling going to do once it grows up? Is it just going to be your baby this entire time? Who knows? It's all bad. But it is giving very, like, leprechaun vibes. Like, it's almost like it is kind of fairy-esque in a way.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm not gonna say there's no way that the Native Americans would have known about the Irish fae, you know what I mean? So it is kind of cool that they have like kind of the similar thing. But anywho, there you have it. The Puck Wedgies has officially been covered. one thing I do have for you is, I said I was going to give you fun facts about the Puck Wedgies, and I only got one. And that's that even though the Puck Wedgies are horribly looking little goblin monsters, it's said that they have a sweet and floral scent to them. So that's nice. Oh, you know, you can bask in the scent of lilacs and lavender as you're being blinded by pocket sand and stabbed over and over again by a 3-foot tall demon hobbit. So But there you have it. That is it, kind of all the information you're ever going to find about the Pukwudgie. Kev, what are your thoughts right now? What are you thinking? Anything you want to discuss? Anything you want to recover that we went through?
Not really. I mean, there's to be honest, like a little bit of the history of the Wabanaki people, like the King Philip's War, which wasn't like a big war or anything, but they ended up retreating from Cape Cod. And then they went into the swamp area where the Bridgewater Triangle is. I know how somebody who's a stickler about that word, but the Huckamuck Swamp, they like retreated to the swamp, and then the European colonists were like, fuck this, I ain't walking through here. Fuck them. They can have this. And then they deemed that whole like area like devilish, like don't go in there. That's where the devil is, you know, stuff like that. But other than that,
all the shit going on inside that fucking Bridgewater Triangle.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Pukwudgie sightings too around those areas. Like I was just saying, like on the paranormal investigation that I did out there in the swamp, like we got, you know, Pukwudgie shit. And I'm part native too. So like they said, my fucking tribe, the tribe that I'm descendant of on the spirit box, which was fucking weird. They said my name, the tribe and podcast within like 10 minutes. And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I would have fucking bailed. I would have bailed so hard. Yeah. I'd like to think that I'd like to, cause I do want to go on paranormal investigations. I do want to go like, cause I'm right now, since I'm in Philly now that I live near the Pine Barrens, I do want to go like,
ooh, I want to do the Pine Barrens too.
Do shit like that. But I just know that like I'll go in tough, but as soon as something fucked up happens, I can feel it in my bones that I will not hold. Like I'll just be like, all right, well, I'm going back to camp where there's a fire and beer. I'm not here anymore. That's speaking of like when the colonists come, so I didn't include this in the story because it was so much. They were kind of saying about how when the Pukwudgies defeated the giant god, when he disappeared from the mythology of the Wampanoag, is that everything that happens in the origin stories of the Pukwudgies is that it correlated with the white man coming to America, and how like all the different times the Pukwudgies won certain battles against like the sun or the god, it correlated with things that happened with white settlers coming to America. So, I mean, this all could just be an allegory. I'm not saying the Pukwudgies aren't real, but at the same time, they might be using the Pukwudgies and their god as an allegory, like for what happened to the Wampanoag people in Massachusetts and what happened as like a correlation with the white settlers coming. So if you want to look into that, I'll post a link to where that information is. But it was pretty cool. I also didn't include any sightings, like recent sightings of the Pukwudgie, because we're already at 30 minutes and I try to keep it tight.
Yeah, episode.
You know what I mean?
yeah. You don't need to listen to people. Fucking people don't want to listen to you ramble on for friggin' hour or two like I do. for your listeners, if they're interested, friggin' Dave was on my show. I think it's episode 88, and we rambled on for almost 2 hours. Dave also got a little tipsy. And
I got started, so hammered.
He started with mimosas or something for breakfast. So, he went to brunch.
We went to brunch, and I was already half in the bag when we started. So I had fun. I can't imagine it was a very well listened to episode, but you know, I had a good time.
I had fun too. I had fun. It was, I wouldn't say it was less listened to than any others. They all had to. I just recently checked the numbers because I normally don't check my numbers because I don't care because I like doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And so I randomly decided like 2 nights ago to check the numbers, and it's pretty even across the board for every episode. There's one episode that has more listens than others, but other than that, and I can't even remember what episode it was, but pretty much every.
I'm proud of you, bud.
I'm
proud of you. Over 100 episodes. That is bonkers, dude.
Yeah, 110 and 111 come out this week.
You do 2 a week, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe I should get on that racket.
It's kind of crazy sometimes. Sometimes I get over because I work like 60 plus hours a week. So sometimes I'm like, Like, I'm like, oh shit, I fucking forgot to like finish the editing and blah, 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 or something. Well, something stupid, you know? And then I'm like rushing around either like early in the morning before I go to work on the day that it's supposed to go be fucking posted.
Dude, you just described my workflow to a T.
Yeah.
All right, Kev. Well, is there anything you want to, anything you want to plug, anything you want to say before we sign off for the day?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this was fun, man. I appreciate you asking me. I know it was, I wasn't your first pick, but you know, it's all right. I'm just kidding. I'm fucking around. But no, like if anybody's interested, so I do, my podcast is a conversational conversational-based podcast.
Are you having a stroke right now? Are you okay? Do you want to talk?
I'm having Tourette's or something. I don't know. But it's a conversational-based podcast that revolves around guest experiences, encounters with paranormal, cryptids, you know, supernatural things, aliens, UFOs. We talk about spirituality. We get into religion a bit, and conspiracies, and also love to touch on mental health, because when you have like these weird experiences, you tend to think you're crazy. And I just want to provide like, you know, a safe space for people who have what they think is an experience, whether it happened or not, they believe it. So I want to provide that space for them to tell their story. So, but yeah, so you can awesome, catch man. It on YouTube or any other podcatcher that you listen to, I think.
Yeah, and then you can also follow him on Instagram at where the weird ones are. Is that what it is? Where the weird
where _ the weird ones are. But I'm pretty sure if you just type in the name, it'll come up. You'll find it. Yeah, you'll find the white and black logo is the easiest thing to look for, I feel like.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. If you want to follow us on Instagram, follow us at Cryptic Cocktail. You can follow us on TikTok at Cryptic Cocktail Party. I have a Discord. I don't ever fucking use it anymore because there was no one in there and I was talking to myself pretty much. But if you want to join, that'd be awesome. You know, give me someone to talk to. We have a Patreon. It's $5 a month. I have been very much slacking on doing it, but it's more just to support the show. I might change it to $3 a month just so people don't expect too much from me, because I feel like $5, they expect something from me.
Yeah. Well, if you already have Patreon members, you're not going to be able to change it unless you add a new tier.
Never mind. So it's $5 a month and it's going to stay that way.
Because I tried to do the same thing. I tried to drop it to three. I was like, I feel like five is a little bit too much. But and I went in and I was like, I already have people pledged to it. So and it wouldn't let me. And I was like, God damn it.
Well, that sucks. All right. Well, anyways, thank you so much for listening, everyone. And Kevin, with that, would you like to say goodbye to everyone?
Okay, love you. Bye. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you.